today is the 14th of October, and we have our portfolio committee after we come from the recess. We therefore welcome all members of this portfolio committee back, wishing them a successful last term of Parliament 2020. We have just found ourselves a second wave of COVID-19 in our country. While the pandemic is in the decline, honorable members, we are urged to remain vigilant and to continue with our protective mechanism until we have a vaccine. Therefore, we still need to continue with all the sanitizing, social distance, and so on. But above all, members, I will urge you to stick to boost your immune system. Keep yourself with vitamin B, C, D, and zinc. Those four supplements must always be close to you. They will help your immune system to survive this pandemic. And we also wish all those who have been tested positive to speedily recover. This is our portfolio committee to get a briefing by the Department of Public Enterprise on the third and fourth quarter performance, financial performance support of the department and service delivery performance of state-owned companies. That's in essence the major agenda of this session. However, we have included some of the issues that have been hanging. We have been put under serious pressure by workers both in the SA Express and also in Transnet about their problems. We find ourselves having to follow those complaints. And I think here the department will be assisting us. We have invited those workers to be part of this session. When we finish with our main agenda, we'll attend to that particular problems. But I want to insist that we are not a CMA, CCMA. We are a portfolio committee. There are structures that are dealing with issues of employment, of labor, where workers, if they are dissatisfied with the manner in which they are treated by the employer, are supposed to follow. However, we are a parliament that is doing oversight. Therefore, if there are issues that are put at our disposal to follow and investigate as part of our oversight, we have to do that and give that particular briefing back to those particular complainants. Let me start by going straight to the apologies. We've got an apology from Mr. Disam Chomi, who is the secretary of the Portfolio Committee of Public Enterprise, and he is welcoming a new member of his family yesterday, who came yesterday, who happened to be a baby girl. We wish Mr. Disam Mutumi all the best and congratulations to him, and wish him good health to that particular small baby. I think unless we've got also a person who stand on behalf of Mr. Disang, Ms. Madia Koff, who is here with us, will be helping us as a secretary until Mr. Disang will come back. Welcome, Ms. Madia Koff. Can you just make everybody to see you?
Okay. Good morning, members. My name is Madia Koff. Pleased to meet you all.
Thank you. Angel. Don't confuse her with Madhya of the movies. This is Madhya of the Parliament. Okay. Can we go to the, can you take us through the agenda?
Sure.
Or just go straight. Okay, let's go straight.
Sure.
I think we'll
sure.
go straight with the, another apologies from the minister. The minister, or can you just read all of them, Madhya?
Chair, so far I've only received an apology from the minister. I haven't received any apologies from any other further members. And I don't know if you want me to go through the members who are present here today.
No, you don't need, I see them on
okay.
the list.
Okay, okay.
Chair,
the only thing that we get. Okay.
Chair, may I interject? Mr. Murray contacted me and said that requested that I present his apology. And he said he did send it through, but he probably sent it through to the son.
Okay.
Thank you.
No, thanks. I think it's going to be recorded. Yeah. The other... Sorry? Who's that?
Mkwanazi.
Mkwanazi, you are present in the meeting.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yes, you've got a very good line. Mkwanazi? Mkwanazi? Yeah, honorable member, you just please try to attend to your system. I think we have got a problem of hearing what you want to say. I think we've got a problem there. Honorable members, you welcome to the department. I think the department is here with the DG and the other officials from the department, and the deputy minister is supposed to be present. I didn't hear anything. I was checking him here on the list.
Yes, I am in attendance, Chair.
Oh, thank you, deputy minister. Deputy minister, I don't want to waste time. Let me give you an opportunity to introduce your team.
Thank you very much, Chair, Honourable Chair, and greetings to the Honourable Committee members. We are before the committee on an accountability exercise to report on progress of the second and third quarters. To facilitate the input, the Director General will take us through that presentation. Whereafter, I'm sure our members will then engage with the report as tabled. So, Chair, without any much ado, we welcome the opportunity. The Director General will then proceed presenting the report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Mr. DG? DG?
Morning, Chair.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm having to upload myself this morning, so it's proving to be quite a challenge. I hope everyone can see the presentation from that side. Is it on, Chair?
Yes, it's visible clear here.
Yeah. Now, good morning, Chair, and good morning to the Deputy Minister, good morning to all the honorable members on the line and the colleagues. We should be joined by the CFO as well this morning, as well as we have the head also of strategic planning and monitoring, Ms. Nakuboma, with us. Unfortunately, Chair, we have the select committee running this morning, so some of the colleagues who are in that meeting, so they could not be with us. So then between these four colleagues that are joining, we should be able to hear all the issues that will arise this morning. The quarter three and four performance update is what we'll be presenting. But what we also thought best we do is also share performance for the first quarter of this financial year, in view of the fact that we have now entered the third quarter of 2021, and so that today is at least a little bit more immediate information made available to the community to get a sense of the progress that we could be or not making. That's the outline for the presentation Chair this morning. The Chair, by the end of the year, we had achieved 77% of the APP target for the year. We that 22 there, Chair, should reach 20 at the bottom. So 20 out of 26 indicators were achieved. And the combination of what transpired, of course, with the 20 to SSA AMC Express and others conspired to ensure that it's coming below the 80% threshold that you normally aim for in government. On the audit outcome front, in due course, of course, the AG will be reporting to yourselves. We have received an unqualified audit for this year. There are a couple of matters that have been raised by the AG, but in due course we'll get to discuss those. So the year has been not as successful as the one we had for the three previous financial years when we got a clean audit as well as gotten above the 80% on predetermined objectives. But it's a corner that we expect them to turn fairly soon and deliver better results going forward. So that is the breakdown of the performance across the various branches in the department. As you can see, the corporate management function has not done as well as we had hoped. Business enhancement as well as transport and defense did not do well. We'll go into the reasons for the objectives that were not achieved. But as you can see, we had a couple of branches that also did very well, got 100%, and energy and resources got 80% of the targets, etc. Now, some of the reasons for us not achieving the target is that we had to just hold back on the green paper on SOEs due to a combination of factors, because the PSEC is now being established and to be providing a little bit more guidance to us in terms of how we should tackle that task. And secondly, as well, we had gone out, Chair, to seek a partner to help us out with the effort. The costs that we encountered were beyond the department's means. So we just held back a little bit on that. As you have communicated previously, as much as we do not have an optimal governance framework, we believe that the Companies Act and the PFMA, which are the basis for guiding our oversight of these entities, remains adequate until we are able to get that legislation in place. And the number of shoulder compacts for the reasons of some of the entities, of course, had experienced challenges, liquidation, business rescue, because we, the way we have structured the target is we had grouped all the deliver on all seven shoulder combat as one deliverable. So if you do not deliver one, you have not achieved that. So the remainder were achieved, but that meant that we still could not achieve that particular target. The official compact is the second one there. We have the contracting process was delayed a bit. We had to just ensure that in the midst of the funding challenges that we are in a position to do that work. So we have now scheduled to do it in this year, and the contracting of a service provider to help us out with that effort has been done. At the Alex School, we had our challenges there that we brought in an administrator whom we had hoped to help to expedite that work, but didn't work out as planned. And also the financial challenges faced by the business did not help us much. But we are engaged currently with energy to look at transferring that shareholding to AEMFC so that we consolidate the state and mining assets in the process. The administrative challenges as well worked against us, Chair, on the localization report, but that was done since by the time it was concluded. We had missed the deadline, so it's one of the areas that we need to work on in the department going forward. We have spoken about SN Express situation. So when it comes to financial performance, I'll hand over to the CFO to speak on it. CFO, can you come in? CFO?
CFO? CFO, please.
Okay. So let me go ahead. Team will locate for us. Chair, that's our expenditure for the, I'll just concentrate on quarter four for the previous year. As you can see, Chair, program one, we achieved 91% of the expenditure, government and insurance 88% and 77% for program three, which is where the oversight functions are located. And as you'll see later on, Chair, the big portion there to do with also with some of the vacancies that we are now in the midst of filling. We had also 56 billion rands that had to be transferred to the SOEs as part of the commitment that had been made. These are transfers that were made to ESCOM, to DINEL, as well as we express in that year. So we're able to achieve 100%. So overall, we're able to achieve 99.9% of the expenditure that had been allocated to us. Now, this slide provides a breakdown per economic classification. So also just concentrating on what are four chair compensation of employees. As you can see, there were 21 million rands that we underspent in that area. Goods and services, the big portion chair of that which was not spent was actually in relation to the bill that I spoke to, but even with that large allocation that we have made, we have set aside, it proved inadequate for us to move forward with that expenditure. And of course, then the rest are minor amounts that are linked to assets and also to to transfers, which are quite minimal for our department, as you can see. So if we analyze our expenditure, as like we told you before, we are able to achieve 99% of the total allocation that had been given to us by the end of the financial year. Then we were able to achieve 87.1% payments that is within our budget as a department. The rest, of course, that makes up 99% is what has been allocated to ESCOM as a 89 at SEC. So those are the respective amounts as 21 billion, 5.5, 1.8, and 300 million rand. And this is in the previous financial year. And this is additional notes that, of course, in order to be able to do the transfers that you just referred to, there was a Section 6 that was invoked by the Minister of Finance to enable that. I've spoken to the spending on compensation and transfers already. Yeah, on SOE performance, on Safcol, the chair is, as much as we see a lot of red today, I can confidently say that things are looking a lot better at Safcol. The improvement may be incremental, but we have regular engagements with through the Deputy Minister of Safcol, and we're seeing some green shoots in the performance of the business. And as you can see in the graph, by the end of 2019-20, they achieved 64% of their shareholder compact, which is an improvement, 10% improvement on previous years. Quarter 1-2021, they are sitting at 36%, but we're expecting them to do a lot better than they did last year. So things are looking a lot better there. Also, the last bullet point, the IFLOMA, which has been a perennial loss maker at the business, is also doing a lot better. They did about 50 million rands of sales and made 1 million rands profit, which is a good sign. The sooner we get to a point where that asset can start making money on its own, the better. And we also glad to get to a point where we're able to attract some capital to invest in a concession, a 50,000 hectare concession they have close to Beira there. Timber Dollar Chair, which is the third bullet point from the bottom, that is an upgrade of a sawmill in Venda. That work is now getting the necessary impetus. They have been moving quite slowly, but things are looking better. But overall, the business, as much for this financial year, it has been affected by COVID-19 because it's quite dependent on the performance of the trucks, the economic cycle. So they have been hit quite hard. But they've been able to survive, and things are starting to look better. So they cannot expect them to meet the targets that they set in the previous year because of the COVID-19. But we're expecting them things to improve markedly in the subsequent years. Thank you, Chair. Janelle is in not a good state, Jeff. Prior to COVID-19, they were already having serious challenges as a business. As a result, the sales that were recorded by July 2020 were 364 million rands, which is 79% behind the corporate plan that they had put in place. And that primarily is linked to lack of working capital, Jeff. We have We are on a drive on our side to get to the security cluster for government to support DNL and see which of their requirements could be met locally for ensuring they should have been raised with munitions while we're buying munitions from outside the country when we have DNL PMP. Can they support that? Why do we have foreign entities maintaining aircraft in the cluster when we have DNL aerospace? So those are the issues that we have raised in the cluster to help support. We have about 574 million that Treasury has allocated to pay down the debt. They have released quite a bit of that to help with paying down some of the bonds that were becoming due. So that has at least released a bit of pressure there. We have agreed to allow a small stake they had in Hensoldt. To Hensoldt, that should release about 164 million rands. And there's other initiatives, Chair, that we're looking at to ensure that working capital is brought into demand so that we can up the sales levels. There is a matter about saving salaries that is also one of the drivers for us to assist DNL, and we are hoping some of the efforts I've referred to will start to bear fruit, because the court judgment is remains unfulfilled as it is due to lack of funding. Chair, there has been some unwelcome developments, as much as DNL has a good order book, but there's a 6 billion contract that was lost due to DNL not being able to raise adequate bank guarantees in time, despite the support that they had received from government. It's a government guarantee. So that's an area that we need to look at going forward to enable DNL to be able to conclude on these orders that they are continuing to receive from outside the country. So we are hoping that we can be able to arrive at some ingenious financial solutions to be able to unlock those contracts and ensure greater economic activity or operational activity within DNL. DNL has also lost about 80 engineers, Chair, at one of their critical divisions here in Pretoria. As those engineers get attracted by the opposition, and quite a sizable number of those engineers have left our shores because they cannot be guaranteed work here and they've not been receiving salaries. So an area that's really we have also raised that is our colleagues in the security class. Alex Kocher, it's the situation. I must say the team, the small team we have there has been working very hard to optimize the situation. They have had to cut back on the size of their head office in Johannesburg, and they've also at Alexandra Bay. They've had to cut back on the strength of the team that they had down there. So the focus now is ensuring that this production that is happening. We have been relying quite a bit on the CEO to carry the load there, but he has been able to mobilize some skills to help him out at the level of the mine. As I said, the important task now is to work on the production side. As you can see, Chair, from the figures that we have there, the production in the last financial year, the revenues that were achieved by the joint venture is 171 million rands against 193 million rands that have been planned. And in the first quarter, we had there has been challenges that had led to operations being placed on hold while matters were being addressed. And of course, COVID-19 had also come in to conspire against that. But for the business quite reliant on contract mining, the impact in terms of the financial impact is expensive. It shares about 7.8 million rands, which the business could absorb for now. There's also been some very pleasing developments there. The Kobodo Forensic Report, its recommendations are being implemented. SSI, which is an entity that has been inserted as a sales and marketing arm of Alex, so the contract has been terminated. Now the entity is now working directly with a government entity in the South African Diamond and Precious Metals Regulator to handle the sales going forward. And the CEO at the PSJV has been terminated, and some of the executives that were implicated in wrongdoings left on their own accord. But that doesn't mean that they will not be pursued. The report has also been handed over to the Zondo Commission, so we're hoping that we'll be assisted in that regard. Chair, Transnet's performance has been impacted, that is now looking in this financial year, by COVID-19, but Transnet shared great cost to itself, as we shared in the last briefing to the committee, has played a good role in terms of delivering on the essential goods for the country, especially considering that most of those are being imported, and we had special arrangements with Transnet to ensure that they keep their operations going. As a result, we have had the impact in the rest of the country, quite a number of their employees, unfortunately, being lost due to COVID as a result. And I must say the team at Transnet has really responded quite wonderfully to that absurd situation. The business continues to execute on its strategy, Chair, and the major focus has been on maintenance programs, at least especially on the rail lines, just to keep those going. The impact that COVID has had on the rest of the economy, there are mitigation measures that have been put in place by the business. As a result, as you know, all of us, that the fuel side of our economy has also been impacted as the normal activities were brought to a halt. And of course, on the global front as well, especially as it relates to containerized trade, there was a significant decline on the part of Eskom. I'm not Transnet, my apology. On the freight rail side, you see the numbers there for the quarter, for the first quarter, about 40 million tons of freight that was moved versus the 58 million target. The bulk commodities were also affected, Chair. But of course, the easing of regulations has helped quite a bit. There is focus on the rail network, Chair, looking at signaling, also maintenance, as I said earlier. Of course, those customer demand, you know of. And the most worrying development, Chair, is the theft of critical components, copper sleepers, the batteries, obviously general vandalism. We've seen pictures of brass stations, for instance, where where the roofs have been stolen at the door frames and window frames have been stolen. So that's an area that will be receiving quite a bit of focus going forward. I'm aware that within the government security cluster, this is also receiving attention. On the court side, Chair, for the same reasons that we have articulated with the rail side, they have been quite an impact. Of course, the Durban precinct remains an area of particular focus. There is a joint effort with the private sector to help in that regard. To the city as well in Durban has been quite involved in terms of being able to ensure that we relieve pressure on the road network around the port, ensure that there's ease of access for the movement of containers especially. The pipelines, Chair, for reasons articulated, was really impacted because the demand for fuel had opened, come down quite markedly during the COVID period. The security challenges, I've spoken to them, Chair, already. The pipelines problem continues. We have a working group, Chair, that we've set up with the intelligence services to address this problem. This effort started last year in December and is continuing. On the ESCOM side, Chair, the energy availability factor is of particular focus on our side in terms of the shoulder rather the roadmap that we had set out as well, the shoulder compartment of contracting for performance. 73% is a standard that we're expecting from ESCOM. They are currently sitting at around 69%. So it's our expectation that more effort will be put in by ESCOM going forward. Chair, as you have heard from the CEO, who has been communicating quite extensively in this area, it is receiving focus. 2021-2022 period is when we're expecting this to stabilize quite a bit. What is also important is the new power that energy has been tasked to deliver on additional power to 5,000 megawatts will have a great deal in terms of reducing pressure on ESCOM. The executive team is also addressing issues of accountability at the power stations. We know there's been action taken at Tutuka, Kendal and Dumbachi to address what seem to be pairing up problems at those particular stations, and hopefully send out a clear message that the leadership will act if people do not take responsibility for their own space. There is a recovery plan that we're working on to ensure that we get to 73% and higher as per the own plan and trajectory. So on the distribution side of the business, there are challenges, issues of illegal connections to the network, theft of electricity, meter tampering, cost vending, non-payment are not helping us in improving the performance of that particular system. And of course, we know, as a result, those customers that are due pay and their customers get affected when there are illegal connections, because the network gets overwhelmed and tips over. We have had various engagements at both provincial and local level to really get this problem to be addressed, because unfortunately when electricity goes, the first entity that is blamed in is ESCOM. Meanwhile, it could be a challenge of poor planning on the part of the municipality where a new area gets connected illegally and the infrastructure that has been set up for that area is unable, therefore, to to handle them load. Municipal debt chair, by the end of August, we are sitting at the 1.5 billion rand. In the month of August, as you can see, that it has grown by 481 million rands. So that's a joint project that we are working together on. There is also a drive, of course, to install prepaid meters, and by end of July, 83,000 meters have been installed out of a total target of 133,000 meters. On the transmission side of the business, there has been an improvement in the performance of the systems. However, there's still significant risks to the network, but those are being attended to. Of course, some of those risks are emanating from an aging network, so there is investment that has been allocated to ensure that is addressed. The theft, of course, of also of cables and steel members has also affected this part of the network. Chair, in terms of ensuring on the generation side, we have adequate capacity with UP and the CBS, as you can see, Chair, five of the six units at MIDUP have come online. We are expecting the last one unit to be online by April 2021. On the Kusile side, we are expecting now in November to have unit 2 come online, one more unit in 2021, and unit 4 in the end of 2022, unit 5 by end of December, and by May 2024 we should have all 6 units at Kusile commissioned. Chair, the progress on unbundling is progressing well, Chair. The three divisions have now been fully established. We have divisional boards that have been established. We have, my apologies, Chair. We have the managing directors of each of those units that have been appointed. And we are expecting that by March 2021 that we'll have separate financials set up for these entities. There will be a proper trading model that will be in place, and some of the corporate functions will have been fully established. By December 2021, Chair, we are expecting that that the transmission company will have been will have been set up by then, and that the complete separation of generation and distribution from transmission should have been achieved by December 2022. Chair, this is the financial performance of the entities. I'll go fairly quickly on this, as we have spoken quite a bit to some of these items. On Eskom, there is a cost containment drive that is going. In the last financial year, 16 billion rands of savings were achieved. In 2021, 14 billion rands is what is set to be achieved. And by the first quarter of this year, 1.1 billion rands have been achieved. Of course, the business has also been affected by COVID. But we also took advantage of the lower demand to also expedite some of the maintenance. I think the last time we reported about 2,000 megawatts capacity had been restored as a result, and there was an aim for about 4,000 megawatts. And of course, on the sales front, there will be about a 10 billion rand revenue shortfall as a result. Transnet, Chair, we shared the results the last time, you know, this is bigger unaudited results, so the very full result reported. And the good plan is that capital investments is on the right track despite its financial challenges. And of course, I've spoken about the difficulties with trading in the first quarter of the year. Of course, the result of financial ratios will be affected. We are working on the corporatization of Azapos Authority. There is a study that we are doing, Chair, to look at the feasibility of this. And in due course, Chair, we share the results of that with the committee. There's a lot of consultations that we are doing now within the government. Chair, on Dinao, I've spoken to the performance in quarter one already. As you can see, Chair, the business is not doing so great in terms of on the revenue generation front. So we're hoping that to be addressed going forward. I can move on to staff culture. As I said, that the business, there is some green shoots that we are seeing, and we are expecting that the performance moving forward will look a lot better. They will report a loss from the last financial year. They are below budget for quarter one due to the reasons that I've outlined earlier. But there are some good developments that we are seeing there. I've spoken quite a bit on Alex already, including their financial performance. But the HR, we are, you know, still under business rescue. We have the creditors have agreed to on the business rescue plan that we have put together, and that the implementation thereof is slightly delayed. But the funding is being secured. There is commitment, Chair, from government to ensure that the 10.5 billion grants to ensure implementation in this year is found. There is the outreaching facilities that we're looking at to ensure that funds can be made available a lot sooner so that we can get this proud flag carrier up in the air again, considering that a country like ours that is at the end of the hemisphere requires air connections for it to be able to trade successfully, especially considering as well that we are a major tourist destination. So we need this kind of entity to help us out in terms of bringing tourists here. We cannot rely on third country airlines to carry our passengers here. Stories that can be told from the rest of the continent, what happens, what is the means to connect your own country. We have also, in order to ensure that we share the load of reviving the airline, there is RMB that we brought on board to help us out with that effort of finding a strategy for Tico. As Express Chair, within liquidation, as you all know, the liquidators have identified the preferred acquirer for the business and get the flag up and running again. There are, I'll call them administrative processes that are going on in the background to ensure that the requirements of the liquidators are met. We have a process, Chair, that is going with the Human Resource, Human Rights Commission. We have had two meetings already where we are looking at a solution to the outstanding salaries and retirement packages. And of course, as we know, Chair, the SA Express is a limited liability business. It has, as much as government is a shareholder, but it is incorporated separately from government. So there are legal challenges that we need to overcome if we're to step in and assist the employees as they had requested. But we are working on those and we will have more discussion later on this issue. Chair, on the governance side, as we know that we Transnet, we have been able to fill the executive leadership there. There are some vacancies on the non-executive side that we are going to fill, and fortunately, we have also had one of the directors of Transnet, Bill Bamafuking, pass away. So that's an area that we need to, that's a self-development, let me say, chair at Transnet, but we work very hard at ensuring those vacancies are filled. ESCOM, we have also a full executive team in place. The team is working with the minister here to ensure that the non-executive vacancies that our new board is put in place there to ensure that those vacancies are filled. Now, the CEO had left us from the 15th of August. The rest of the executive team is in place. The three vacancies we have on the board also we are working on to ensure that they are filled. Subcon chair had a CFO vacancy, the CFO that went to recruit it, but another offer elsewhere and left them. We have one vacancy chair as well as the artist, but we are working to fill that. The SAMS Express, of course, we are quite aware of what is happening there. And, and Alex Group, we are hoping that solution will be transferred to the business. Chair, to deal with the wrongdoing of the past, we have been aware of some of the actions that have been taken. ESCOM is pursuing some of the former executives to recover 3.8 billion pounds that was legally diverted away from the business. We now have a contract, of course, that the courts have directed that 200 million rands be paid back at Transnet. We now have the executive whose assets were seized due to allegations of corruption that he propagated while he was still at Transnet. Two former executives ESCOM has been arrested and charged with corruption and fraud in relation to a 7.5 million contract. There is a declaration of delinquency that has been achieved against the former board member. And there also a review registration of a former CFO at ESCOM due to professional misconduct. Yeah, there is companies that have been involved in aiding the corruption. 15 of them have been identified for prohibition from doing business with the state going forward. Of course, has also followed through in the same regard. And the whistleblower reports have been registered through the hotline that we have set up, and that there are criminal investigations that are being pursued. On the department front, we have also taken action against officials that have been implicated in wrongdoing in the past. We are developing an integrity framework that also help us out in this way. The work should be concluded in this financial year. In conclusion, Chair, the SAN Express continue to be entities that we are able to report positively on performance. SAN Express, as we know, operations have come to a halt as a result of liquidation. SAA now is in the same position as it has had to put its operations, became maintenance as it always. A much needed financial injection. Of course, in the reporting today, we have sought to give you not just the quarter three and quarter four from 2020 performance of ourselves and the SOEs, but also to give you a sense of what's happening in the current financial year. So that's the end of the presentation. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much, Gigi.
Now, honourable members, we will have to go to yourselves to engage the presentation. I will start from anyone. I don't need to be given any hands. I'll just give all randomly. I will make the point that all members are being given an opportunity to partake here. Start with Honorable Kwanazi. Honorable Kwanazi, she still has a problem of the audio there. Okay. Honorable Kwanazi? Okay, let me leave you for now and go to Honorable Shola. Are you coming now?
If you're calling me to come now, do you hear me?
Yes, you're audible.
Okay. All right, thank you, Chair. Please, if you can bear with me and give me another opportunity perhaps later on as well. I don't want to cover lots of issues at the same time. I would want just to get responses on this one first. Basically, let me just welcome the presentation, Chair. I think it was well thought and it's been good that the DG is able to really take us through the presentation itself. I mean, you would expect ordinarily that the CFO will do that, but the fact that DG is able to do that, it shows us that indeed she is well vested with the work that it is with. And let me also greet honourable members and the Deputy Minister in this regard. Look, just the slide 5 on the quarter 3 and quarter 4. There is a part that speaks about conclusions of the evaluation process. And there's a reason why you did deviation. So I want to delve and deal much on deviation. You are saying that the reason why you deviated is that there was a study process that was deferred to 2020-21 financial year. I want to find out what study are we talking about and what cost this study is going to come from our own coffers and the targeted ready date of this study and what really the purpose of having a study on this evaluation. I just want to find out that part. Chairperson, the issue on, let me just continue with the slides and deviations before I come to other matters. The number, there's another one on the deviation, the same slide, it says, there's number of shareholder compact signed for quarter 3 and quarter 4, and none of them were achieved. And it says that there's delays in finalizing 2019 and 20 as the reason and SHC and financial challenges experienced by some SOCs, the 2021 SHC were not signed. I want to find out the fact that we are not signing the shareholder compact. And really, I want to know, DG, what is the plan to correct this moving forward? But what would be the AG's comments around this issue? I think it's very critical for me, considering the fact that from 2019, there's not been done. 2020, now we're deferring it to 21. So what would be our anticipated AG's comments around this matter? The report on implementation of Alexco, same on the deviation. And it says that on underscore there's the proposed shareholding structure. So I want to know, can you finish the Public Enterprise Committee with that structure? And can you give us the reasons for not implementing the shareholding? And you are saying part of the reasons you are really saying that is because the company financial state is not really that good get to understand what is the balance sheet currently with Alesco as things stand. And what guarantee are we having that we're going to really address this issue? Now I move on to the SAA DG. Look, you have given us what needs to happen. I think from where we are at is that as the public enterprise, it is important to ensure that Treasury indeed does give funding to SAA at this point, or including us, you sharing with us in this portfolio committee, what are the strategic partner that you are looking at, as you're saying that there is something that has been worked on, it's looking good, it's promising. If we can get an update, it doesn't have to be now, but moving to the MTPPS, I think it's very critical that we need to pay some sort of an oversight around that issue, so that as this public enterprise, we carry the aspirations of our people and people affected with this, especially our workers, on this matter of SAA and Express as well. And as you say, it's very saddening, the fact that, you know, our airline SAA is grounded at this point, and South Africa's economy has been opened. We've seen flights that have been opened. It's very sad that we have to travel and we don't really have to use our own national carrier. And for me, that's worrying. Now, DG, the targets, I'm really worried on the quarter three, quarter four. I see you are saying that you've achieved for quarter three 77%, and for quarter four 77%. That has been achieved, and you are setting a type of a number that you are giving us. And when I look at quarter three, it seems that you did not achieve 5 out of the planned, I think, out of the planned 17 targets that you had. For quarter four, you had 26, you only achieved 22, there is 4 that you never achieved. It boggles my mind to say and ask the question that says that, did we really go back to the drawing board as soon as COVID-19 came, based on what we would have perhaps you would have budgeted for, you would have been financed for the department, but did we go back and restructure our targets based on the COVID-19 and what has been made available to us at this point? Because we knew COVID-19 came up with some negatives, a lot on and what were cut from your side in terms of your budget. But for us to move with these targets and be able to do an oversight, but for you to be able to gauge if indeed you are achieving what you've set yourself to achieve, have we really gone back and sorted out those type of matters around that? Chairperson, I'll come back later perhaps when they've been answered, so that I speak on ESCOM and other matters on compensation and issues of electricity. For now, can I please leave it there? Thank you.
Honorable Chavala, thank you so much. Honorable Kachalia.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we have, in this committee, we look at very important issues in terms of the economy of our country. And we have frankly reached a tipping point. And I listened carefully to the presentation. I read it beforehand. There are many plans, and not enough progress. Since 1994, we, as a country, have ploughed 178 billion rands in bailouts into SMEs. And it has got us to a pretty parlous state. We now are being told that 10.5 billion is going to go to SAA, and I would like to know exactly where this is going to come from, because Treasury was clear that the fiscus would not be able to shoulder this. Nevertheless, we're told that it's going to happen, and I'd like to know where it's going to come from exactly and where it's going to go to exactly, because this looks like just another loophole. As far as Deveria is concerned, similarly, we talk We talked about that they are waiting for working capital. Where is this working capital going to come from? There's been no commitment from the minister or from the treasury to or any further money is going to the mail. In the meanwhile, contracts have been cancelled left, right and centre and lost. Critical staff have left in droves to competitors in the Middle East and elsewhere. Frankly, it is bankrupt and inoperable, and we are tinkering on the side. We need to understand what a real plan is. And of course, similarly, I can't even talk about Chair. It is a basket case of note. Now, ESCOM, which is the largest one, let me pay some attention to. I note that there has been some progress on unbundling, and I'm happy to see that. But we need clear commitment to specific timelines without delays, and these need to be fast-tracked. Because without this unbundling happening forthwith, there will be no further space for investment or private public partnerships and the like. That is dependent on unbundling. It has to happen immediately and forthwith without delay, which we have witnessed in the past. Now, if we, so can we get an understanding of that? Secondly, there is, on the question of transparency and accountability, there is before Parliament a bill which I put forward on the Public Finance Management Amendment Bill, which seeks to ensure that financial statements are presented timeously and is required, and if they are not presented, reasons must be given within a specific time frame, and if it is then not presented thereafter, that there must be consequences for this. I hope that this committee will, in the interest of transparency, efficiency and accountability, support that, because I think that is it's not a party issue. This is something which is absolutely required, and I'd like some commitment on that. I'd also like to understand what progress there has been on incentivizing power generation by private citizens, because this can assist significantly, especially in terms of solar for private citizens, what tax incentives and what subsidies are being looked at, if they are at all. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kashalia. Honorable Maotre.
Thank you very much, Chair, can you see me and can you hear me?
Yes, you are audible and visible.
Oh, because my screen has got your name on it and it's blank, so I can't see myself. But anyway, good morning, Chair, and the committee members. On a lighter note, I noticed that, Chair, you're wearing the same color as Honorable Chawala. So maybe there was a memo that we missed. But anyway, Chair, I'm not surprised by the underperformance of the department.
She is in my house.
That level of detail is not for us, please. Okay. Chair, I'm saying I'm not surprised by the underperformance of the department, because it's led by people who are not capable at all. They've not achieved a single target of their quarter three and quarter four. And when you look at the reasons for deviation or for the reasons why they did not achieve, it clearly says that they've been slipping through this COVID period. It's unexplainable why shareholder contracts would not be signed. And nothing is happening to the executives of this SOE. So it means if the shareholder contract is not signed, you can't measure performance. There's nothing the department can measure them on. And when I go down, I mean, all of them, nothing has been achieved for the CBM quarter four. So really, there's nothing to engage on this. And in terms of the SOEs themselves, for example, SA Express and SAA, the report on implementation, there's not even reasons why there's a deviation. So this department is a hopeless department, honestly. And we can't continue to use COVID-19 as a reason. COVID-19 has affected the whole world. And we knew in quarter one already that there's COVID-19. We should have come up with measures to put in place to make sure that we work around the COVID-19. It can't continue to be a surprise almost 7 months down the line. And when I read this report, Chair, everything that the department is saying, they're not telling us a new story. The issue of SA Express not being able to pay salaries, the issue of dinner is not new. The issue of Safcon, the issue of Alexco. We had a meeting with Alexco last year, and they told us that if by the first quarter they don't have cash injection, they're going to be in dire situation. And that's what we are told now, a year later. So what has the department really done? Or are we having just people who come in and get their salaries and go home? So the issue of Transnet underperforming because of COVID-19 is a lazy excuse. Now let me attend to the Eskom issue. In January, the CEO of Eskom said the mines should generate their own electricity. On the 7th of October, again, the CEO said the best way to increase SA's energy security is to bring more private producers onto the national grid. Now, here is the CEO of the state-owned entity saying his own entity is not capable, doesn't have the capacity, and therefore he thinks that the best way is to then get private investors or private companies to come and take over. So he's literally selling our assets to private sector. Now, the question is, what is the department going to do about the CEO? Because he can't be left unattended. It can't be business as usual when he publicly says that he is going to sell Eskom. And I know that this issue of unbundling is just a big English way that they want to keep us busy with, when they know that the ultimate goal, as confirmed by the CEO himself, is actually to sell Eskom to private sector. Now, the DG mentioned three cases which relate to the whistleblowers, and those are concerning the SAA. He's not saying anything about Eskom whistleblowers, because you do know that the whistleblowers that even went to the Zondo Commission to give evidence there, and those whistleblowers are now being harassed by Eskom and its executives. The people are now being let go, they are being demoted, they are being sent out of their positions, and all that. So what is the DG doing about it, including this one of SAA? Well, it's not enough to say you've involved FIU and SAPS. What is the department doing about the allegations of these executives that are in this SOE? And Shay, I would like to pause it there for now. I'll come back later if you allow us the second round. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mawato. Honourable Kumede. Honourable Kumede.
Yes, Chair. Hey, Chair, firstly, let me join the colleagues by accepting the report and say the report in fact has quite a lot of information, as much as it may be a repetition of what in fact we have had in the past. But as a way forward, those are the things we are to really in order to come to the fore, and we're in a position to solve some of the challenges that we are facing. Chair, some of the questions we had that have been asked, in fact, I will try and avoid those questions, but if I do repeat, it would have been perhaps the situation where I would have missed it. Let me firstly say some of the things I remember in this church. You remember that the person that has been very vocal on some of these outstanding, it could be bills or whatever, that in fact have long been outstanding, was Honorable Kwanan. You will notice that some of those things that the department has failed to achieve are still those items that we have shown or with indicated consent that they were not signed, bills not submitted, and we even made a list of such items to be brought before us as a committee so that we make sure it was one of our targets that we get those items finalized at least this financial year. But it looks as if the department has again failed us as the committee. But if I may go as well, Chair, is you will never find the compensation of employees being 100%. You will never. It's always somewhere 70s, between 70s and 80s. The main reason is the compensation is, in fact, from my own understanding, has to do with the feeling of post. Why can't the department fill all the outstanding posts? Because I want to believe if we are less capacitated and we need more manpower, I think if we use that allocation to make sure that we fill the post, it will help us that we do more rather than pile one individuals with more work and then they are unable to complete or fulfill some of the tasks that they would have been given. The SAFCO, yes, I've seen there that it has performed better, especially the diploma with that 1 million profit. I'm interested to know, was it by coincidence that it has achieved this in this first quarter, or there is a kind of a magic that they have used? How can we sustain this so that in the next quarter at least we are getting two, at least other quarters we come closer to a billion? That magic we want to know, and perhaps if ever there is anything that the DG may contribute to tell us the metrics in terms of achieving the meaning. I'm interested to talk about DINEL, but at times I've got a feeling that is it really necessary to ask questions about DINEL? Because it will always be the idea of salaries. And again, yes, I agree with the Honorable Kacharya that if we say we need capital, where is that money going to come from? I heard DG mentioning something like 164, but there is something that says DINEL pays, I think, 300 million every, I don't know, but as an interest. And then it looks as if it will be difficult, not unless DINEL pursues other avenues, which in fact may bring the status of DINEL into perhaps the full operation. I'm not sure whether that is feasible if they don't have capital. You know, I'm worried, especially, Chair, if you will have the exodus of 80 engineers going, and those that are remaining What do we have to retain their skills? Nothing. There is nothing that, in fact, we can offer to those. Those that have left, in fact, they will start dipping from the very same engineers that they know and recruit them to go and join them wherever they would have gone to. So it's really a big challenge. And I remember when we were doing the workshop, Chair, we were saying, Dinel is in a bed of death. There is something, there is that phrase that was used, that it is in a bed of death. Please, if there is something that is to be done, seriously, we talk to Treasury or talk to Finance. That is there anything that can be done to save some of these SOEs? All of them, in fact, are critical. But I've got a feeling that in terms of security and in terms of protection and save the country, we really need Daniel. It will be important that we get Daniel going, but unfortunately, it looks as if very soon we'll be facing a situation where we may face the liquidation and as well as the business rescue may soon come in. Talking Transnet, I have only one question, Chair, that the global container trade, how much does it affect us? I know that it's 14%. If it really affects us seriously, are we prepared for the situation? So that at least we don't wait up until we are affected by the situation. When going to Eskom, I think the main hindrance here is the maintenance. Some of the things that are being sort of, you look at all over, if we can find a solution and find the way of doing the maintenance, I think perhaps as, because the unbundling, yes, other people are saying it's a very big term that will confuse us, but let's give it a chance. Not sure whether in terms of performance, as well as in line with people who are willing to pay, but I'm worried about the amount of the amount of debt that in fact has gone up to 32 billion, of which a third of that is being owned by Soweto. I'm not sure. There is something that was called it's a bad debt. Is there anything that can be done to classify that? I'm happy that the Auditor General is around. That if we can categorize that as a bad debt, perhaps the going to assist us as the department. There is something that the DG has said in terms of SA Express, that they had a different contract from the other contracts with the SOEs, which in fact he is unable to tell us that they are in a position that they can't help. It will be interesting for me, even if we are told in confidence, but there is nothing that is to be hidden, especially if there is something that has been mentioned. Can we be told what is that is preventing us from assisting SA Express? Chair, let me say that the cost containment, we've mentioned something, I think it's under electricity, that we are trying to do, and we've set the target for 70, I can't remember whether it's 70 million or 70 billion, but I want to find that, to ask, if there is that cost containment, is it not affecting the operation? The more we save, perhaps we cut corners, is it not going to affect us especially in terms of load shedding, and begin to experience more load shedding and more other things that in fact will affect the operations of the company, rather Eskom. Chair, again, it looks as if COVID-19, as much as Honorable Maute has spoken about this, COVID-19, according to her, she says that it is used as a scapegoat. The department should have factored an appropriate plan to make sure that the COVID-19 is being addressed. But it is seen as a factor in all the reports that we have been sort of giving. Has the department, in fact, have plans to make sure, or has it factored the COVID-19 plan into the budgetary system that we are having? SAA, yeah, we need 20 billion. Urgently, we need 10.5. And it's true that the Minister of Finance did echo that he's not going to assist. We will, in fact, be interested to know. Let alone this time around, we are pushing for 10.5. But the balance, that other 10, where is it going to come from? And, you know, we need to discuss this. If we are to assist in doing whatever we need to do as a committee, it will be much more interesting. And if we can get as well and a feedback from this RMB, the Equity Strategy Planner, partner rather, we need to know what is happening. Are we getting that? Are we not? When is the report or when is the feedback? What is the time frame we have in terms of the RMB? The Express, hey, that's too much, because one sees it that it's going. The human resource is in fact trying, I'm not sure, because we'll be seated with the report before us, that we are to consider where the employees from the very same department are in fact trying to demand their payments. Could this be an answer that, one, that there are those things that are the hindrance in terms of beginning to make interventions in the SAA Express, as well as that SAHRC is in fact addressing some of the challenges. It could be in terms of salaries, in terms of all those other pension things that are still outstanding. So let me wait there, but like all others, if ever there is something that I may have missed and other colleagues may not have raised, then I will in fact ask to come back. But for now, I'll stop there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Commander. Honorable Buterin.
Yes, Chair. Hello.
Yes, sir. There is a noise behind your back.
Yes, I don't have any code because I've just joined the meeting now, so I didn't have to listen to the presentation. So I've got nothing to say for now.
Okay, okay. Let's go to Honorable Piri.
Between colleagues, officials, and all the government chairs, because
Honorable Piri, we seem to have a problem. Yeah, we are struggling to hear you.
Am I better now?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, let me
also join colleagues as they've already raised number of questions, but go straight to a concern that I have, Chair. Earlier, when we started to, as a sixth administration, we've been asking as members to say what are the consequences management that the department has in connection with the SOE, because really it's just a repeating session. We always have a concern to say they always present targets that are not met, irregularities that are not met by SOEs. But then the one question that we always ask the department, while even the DG was still acting, now is the DG, a real DG, what do you have, what are the consequence management in place? So that we must make it a point that everybody does his or her work where he is deployed to. Secondly, Chair, I wanted to go to the issue of DNEL. Earlier on, when we went for an oversight, we were promised or presented to us a clear and well-articulated plan to say DNEL has the capacity to go back into its own business. And also we were told that DNEL has got a promising project that already they've signed with a certain investor. What happened? Do you still have that potential investor that you were given hopes to say DNEL can, if it can start to work with that potential investor, will be in a position to be a better DNEL, as all of us we want DNEL to be in the best place. Actually, all SOEs. Chair, I want to say lastly, because I'm afraid of my network, with the interest of SAA and wanting to say to the DG and the DM, can we, the pride of South Africa, be saved in all odds? How you do it, where you get it, can we be promised really within this month, before the end of the month, can you save the pride of South Africa, SAA? Chair, let me say thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Thierry. Can we get Honorable Pumluan? Honorable Mpumlwana, I don't even see him here. Okay, back to Honorable Mkhwanazi. Honorable Mkhwanazi, she's experienced a network problem where she is. I think we'll have to go back to the DG then and the team. Can we go back there? Or perhaps can the Deputy Minister first, if there is any bite wants to take before I give them?
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. Am I audible? Honorable Chair, can you hear me?
You're loud and clear, Secretary. I mean,
all right. No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And again, thanks to the Honorable Members for very deep, searching questions and some contributions that they have made in seeking to understand what's happening in the department. I just want to comment on a few issues. Perhaps at a strategic level, the DG will, with the team, then deal with the more operational and environmental issues. Firstly, I want to say, perhaps what we all know, that going through a very deep economic slump at the moment, that which has impacted government resources across the board to the extent that where even legitimate requests for funding have not really been met to the satisfaction of those making them. In this instance, I know that as DPE, we would have knocked at the Treasury at various moments to seek support for some of our state-owned companies that are going through difficulties at the moment. Difficulties that may be as a result of malfeasance over many years within them, or difficulties that are market-related in the sense that particularly the advent of COVID, which sometimes gets seen to be used as an excuse, but certainly COVID has had a major impact in the operating environment of some of our state-owned companies. The others are affected by geopolitical developments. For instance, if you're looking at Guinea, one of the issues we've been grappling with at Guinea is their overexposure in terms of clients in the Middle East, which is very volatile and at times always a subject of these international gatherings which concerns would be expressed, human rights issues, etc. So a combination of factors really have impacted the space of trying to find support for our state-owned company. Honorable Kachalia asked the question, where will the 10.5 billion come from? And I think it's also asked in different ways by the other honorable members. We have been engaged with the Treasury at a point even as a joint team, DPE and Treasury, working to look to finding an answer to this question, including engagement with the market, particularly banks and other funding agencies, to look at how they could come to the party, because the fiscal by itself has exhausted its ability to be able to meet this obligation. However, I may say that from the level of government in its entirety, I am almost certain, and I can say to the honourable member who said, I think it was Honourable Piri, who said, can we get a finality on the matter before the end of this month? I say without equivocation, yes. I'm sure as the MTPPS is going to be presented, there will definitely be a pronouncement on this issue, and that perhaps the questions that are asked, where will the money come from, etc., that question is going to be responded as part of that. We cannot at the moment preempt the announcements to be made by the relevant authorities. We are where we are, comfortable in that the commitment, we have seen it being demonstrated in how we were engaging and seeking to find answers to this. Yes, it is not the only amount required. It is for this reason that the entire thing that has to do with the path to restructuring of SAA includes consideration for the other market players in their base to come into the space in a form of equity partnership arrangement that will be done with this at present fully owned, state-owned company in SAA. That's a matter, again, for which a process is underway in that direction. The timing of this was all sequenced to suggest that as the first allocation is made available, the other stages will come into play as this entity is rising again. So far I can say in respect of that, and I'd like to give the assurance to the committee that this matter is receiving the attention at the very highest level in government. Similarly, in respect of Denan, the issues there are ensuring that all the units at Denan are fully operational, and for that purpose you need operating capital. There have been allocations made to Denan as we know, some made in mind to provide for some of the debt that was maturing during the course of the year. We've really engaged a number of avenues, including rescheduling of the dates of some of that debt, the maturity dates, etc., as well as engaging the Treasury with the view to somewhat looking afresh at some of the conditions that were attached to some of those applications. Of course, again, that process will only be final once it is reverted back to the legislature, that is Parliament, for finality. But we have worked at various scenarios, including what the PC has spoken to. Some of the assets for which the NEM has stake in, those which, if they were let off, would provide them the much needed liquidity. Hensoldt is one of those for which I think the department has gone ahead to approve selling the stake at Hensoldt that could bring in up to 150 or more million rand. That could help in actually dealing with the situation of the land. These are some of the interventions made in that regard. Specifically to Alexco, we have reached a point that the continued arrangement that exists there now is unsustainable without there being a very fundamental overhaul, including bringing in expertise in that environment. It could not continue as usual. To that effect, again, we may provide a more detailed respect of what is obtaining at the moment. We have to deal with issues of governance there, which have completely collapsed. We have to look at some of the corruption that was really embedded in the way the entity functions over many years, the sale of those diamonds. Correcting that has actually yielded us a point at which now we can say, perhaps with more strategic capacity, our sister department in minerals and energy could actually come into the space as well to help us deal with that in a sustainable way going forward. Chair, I would pause at that. Honourable Mauche talks to the issues of performance and underachieving. I can say that as best as we try, we are really working on ensuring that there is a regime that is embraced throughout the system. Our oversight mechanism over these stakeholder enterprises is predictable, and we have with them regular meetings in which, of course, because you know, they have boards, and boards have got to exercise their fiduciary duties over their management structures. These are matters that we are attempting to improve. It's admitted that we can do better than we have done. Chair, maybe let me pause there to then let the DG come in as well. I haven't said much about ESCOM, where I think it's Honorable Kumeje who's having a suggestion, particularly relating to those outstanding debts, and perhaps he is suggesting that why can't these, I thought it's the right of kind of, I was going to say, just as those are considerations, but this is what has led, among others, these agencies to find themselves in, ESCOM in particular, where a service is provided, it is not paid for. In fact, providing this service, loans have to be made, and you've got to service these loans, and if you don't service them, then the fiscal at some point can no longer do this, then the only resort is going back to the people, so that this culture of paying for services that have been received has got to be once again embraced. I think the issues of cost and how cost is dealt with must be seen against that. Just whether you can just simply go on a straight write-off compared to something else. And I do know, of course, that some considerations have been made where the cost of payment improves on the one hand, then there could be some relief brought in terms of the debt that is accrued to an individual, that if you keep your current and you can probably get 50%, 70%, whatever, reduction in terms of what you... I think these are some of the things that are on the table at the moment. But payment going forward has got to take place. Otherwise, we will also be sinking these. Let me pause there, Chair, and then let the DJ come into the space.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Can we go to the DG then?
Chair, if I can just respond to the remainder of the question. Chair, maybe we should just clarify the report that we are tabling today is covering quarter 3 and 4 of 2019-20. So that's up to March 2020. But what we did, because we are now in the middle of quarter 3, or at the beginning of quarter 3 of 2020-2021, we also put in the report information on what has transpired in the last two quarters. And that's where there may be a mix-up in understanding, because COVID really started to take hold of our country really from the end of quarter 4 and well into quarter 1 of this financial year. So from the question that I've been asked, I think that there is you know, the two sets of numbers are being misunderstood. So I thought I'd just clarify that. And we are not, as PM has said, making excuses with COVID. The reality, economies around the world have been negatively affected. The economies have slowed down. And that has meant that revenues that NGOs expected to achieve have not been achieved. And I also want to, the second I want to clarify is that the department has actually done well under trying circumstances. We achieved 77% of our targets. And if we were to look at some of the targets that we consciously held back, the performance of the department would be well above 80%. And if you factor in like we have one target that was achieved in the beginning of this financial year. It was achieved, it may not have been achieved during the financial year itself. We factor that in, it pushes the performance of the fund on predetermined objectives to above 90%. So I just want to clarify that, and we have received an unqualified audit. So I think the demonstrated recognition that despite the challenges that we had, including the fact that we have had acting appointments for quite some time, but department has done well, and I really want to reiterate that particular point. And on the shareholder compact, it's how the target is bundled in the APP. Like I said, you have seven entities, you should have seven shareholder compacts signed. But if you have two of your entities, one going into business rescue, one into liquidation, and the board getting incapacitated in the process, it becomes difficult to conclude on those targets that you're intending to achieve. And I think what we should do, Chair, is just send through just a breakdown on what I'll call the statutory performance targets, like your corporate plans, your shoulder compact, your strategic plan statement, and so on, in terms of how the department has performed, so that you can give the members a greater appreciation of the situation that we find ourselves in. And the rest of the questions from Honorable Shabala, the GM has dealt with. Now, the also the same time DML dealt with the questions of, and some of the issues that Honorable Kashela raised, where one was directed at rather the committee itself, which actually on the key for me. The incentivizing of power generation, that is not a competency of the department. The Department of Energy is tasked with that responsibility. Now, Honorable Maudoy, the explanation that I've given addresses the concern that you have raised with regard to the capability of the team you have in place here. The Chair, I just want to say as well, as you may recall, we gave a briefing not so long ago to the committee where we covered as well the unaudited results of the SOEs, and this may sound like a repetition what you are saying because of the short intervals between the briefings, but we apologize for that. But I can only attribute it to that. But I'm not sure. The Honourable members that there's a lot that happens in between, and as much as we can, we do share the progress that you're making. If Honourable Mauke has the instances of whistleblowers being victimized, we're quite happy to receive those and see what needs to be done. So that the invitation is open to her. I think with regard to other issues that have come into the public arena at ESCOM, there has been very clear and public communication of how those have been dealt with, including some of the issues that the board of ESCOM has dealt with some allegations that have been made against the leadership, and there has been exoneration of the leadership there. The Honourable Member, on the SOE bill, we, as we said, is one of the targets that we consciously held back. The cost of that was coming in about 20 million rands in terms of the work that we needed to do. Is that coming into place? It's maybe premature to start on that work. It would be better to be guided by the PSEC on how, on the form and shape that a government shareholding will take going forward. So there's a conscious decision in that front, and as I indicated, that the cost also meant that to be quite a toll on the department. And of course, as everyone knows, that we have brought in some academic expertise of private sector expertise into the PSEC, so we're hoping that they will help with that effort as well. Topco's performance on our command, the importance of leadership. There's been stability now since 2018 on the board level at Topco. The CEO has been in place from the end of 2017. That stability goes a long way in terms of getting the business to start working. So we are reaping, slowly but surely, the fruits of those basics that have been into place at that entity. And we definitely are hoping that the same will be, start to manifest to the other entities. So that's if, it's not a secret aspect, just going back to basics. And the DML dealt with the denial issue, the ESCOM issue as well. And Express as well, DMs dealt with the other issues. But on the one, maybe the legal issue, I didn't explain it well enough with the matter. What I meant was that for us to be able to meet the request that the employees had made, and the business now is in liquidation, there are legal impediments to us providing the funding that is required. Not that, as Express raised, the department is different to the other entities of government. And the Express has been assisted in the past, not long before it went into business rescue, 300 million rands had been allocated to the business. There had been about 1.25 billion rands in the previous year that had been put into the business. So we have received support like other businesses have. But the reality of the business is that it had been really mortally damaged by some of the shenanigans that went on at the business. And that's why we find ourselves where we are. The cost containment effort that has gone really to drive down some of the inefficiencies there, the cost of maintenance, of course, the cost of procuring primary energy, including coal, has been some of the particular areas of my attention. So that's really what we are referring to, not often cutting to the bone as we do that. But it's been necessary because the costs have really have been allowed for many years to run out of control. So that's what it's going to do to pay those back. The DM has spoken about funding for SAA. The R&D in due course will come through as we make critical milestones there in terms of positives that we are bringing back. We are not in a position really to show much on this platform. As Express, it's there's maybe a silver lining we've made on as Express. The preferred partner that have been identified includes the employees, the former employees of as Express. So we are quite hopeful that preferred bidder and the liquidator will find each other, such that we see that airline in the air again, because it might be a state in the airline going forward, but it will continue to serve a very important role within our aviation market services. We are servicing secondary cities, and we hope that the new shareholders will continue to carry out that particular mandate. And of course, the new leadership at SAA, once it's up and running again, we'll also have to determine what kind of relationship that they would like to have with that airline and whether the free that relationship that was in the past that they maintain. One of Kiri asked about consequence management. Chair, maybe at some point we must maybe bring a more comprehensive report in terms of the full set of actions that have been taken. Just to be able to ensure that you are on the same page with the committee. But I can assure the committee that where there has been misbehavior or illegal actions, that action has been taken. And the denial questions as well as SAA, I'll stop there. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Now that we have received the response of the department and the minister, can I just ask the last round and very short or one point, and then we wrap up. Can I just see an indication if there are people who want to raise anything quickly? I don't see hands here. Okay. Maotwe, followed by Shabalala. Then one. Then you honorable members. Let's go take those two hands. Honorable
Mawate. Thank you very much, Chair. Once again, the department has not responded to the issue of the CEO, his remarks regarding bringing private people on board, as one. Two, the Deputy Minister spoke about, he acknowledged the non-performance of the department. And he did say that they are having meetings with the department. So I guess it's statutory that board meetings will be held, and they are even dictated when they should be held. But the question that comes is, what have those board meetings yielded for the period of quarter 3 and 4 last year and the quarter 3 and 4 of this financial year? So what is it that they have done differently? Because this presentation is exactly what it was last year when I joined this committee. All the issues that are raised here are not new, all of them. And there's no way in the presentation where it says, these are the challenges we're encountering, this is what we have done, or this is what we're doing. There's nothing like that. It's just to say, we're not performing, the deviation, blah, blah, blah. So clearly the board meetings are not working, but if they are, maybe we're not aware, then can Deputy Minister then take us through what the board meetings have yielded? And also, the whistleblowers, it's, the DG can't say that I must bring forward, because he's been sitting in our meetings and he's aware of the whistleblowers, particularly of ESCOM. And the question is, what is the department doing about it? For him to say that and exonerated itself, you can't be a player and a rest at the same time, and that is what is happening at ESCOM. So what is this, what role is the department playing in that? And that will be all for now, Chair. I thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mawato. Honourable Shabala?
Yes, Mr. President, can you hear me? My computer just freezed on me, but I want to know if you can hear me, because I'm unmuted. I'm trying to mute, not happening.
We do hear you.
Okay, thank you. So I hope that the host will be able to mute me afterwards, because I'm unable to do anything at this point. I'm just happy that I'm unmuted. Chair, the sort of that thing on the ESCOM, for me, when it says that the payment levels have increased to 13% in 2019-22, July, of course, because you're giving us until July, but there's a part on that slide that where you speak about there are conversions to prepaid customers, and it accounts for 65,000 customers, and I would like to think that is as a result, and that's why you saw this increase on the payments because of this information. But I can tell you that as the numbers colleagues that in the department, we might really want to just bring them to specific these numbers that I'm talking about. Because even in the month of August, there are meters that have been installed and so forth and so on. So I'm just saying on this, all these meters that have been installed and prepaid, I would really request that you ask ESCOM to give it to us exactly this area that they are talking about. So that when we are the people on the ground and our people continuously complain and we are faced with this problem over time, we're able to say, no, hang on, there's a spreadsheet, ESCOM is accounting for a location in the way he says that it is installed, while it might not be the fact or might be some better, better. So can I please be finished with that? Chairperson, on ESCOM, the question is, explain the impact on the revenue shortfall on ESCOM. If I can just get an explanation on the impact on the revenue shortfall on ESCOM. Slide 50, we totally agree with slide 50, the application of funding through the MCF process on SAA, we wholeheartedly support that. Slide 54, it is very, very crucial. It speaks about progress on forensic investigations and measures that strengthen anti-corruption, and it gives us this proclamation from SIU, says Transnet, ESCOM, DNEL and SAA, this recording of 3.8 million illegally diverted from the company, matters of contractor orders to, by court to repay 200 million to Transnet. Declaration of irregularity. These delinquents who were board members who would have been mad in SAA and it's part of this corruption. Now, the reason why I'm bringing it, I feel it's a good story that we need to flag and highlight to our people as much as we're dealing with the issue of corruption. If we can continuously really give an update on this matter, DG, and for me, then I can say that you are doing very well. And don't mind us as honorable members. We are not saying you are not doing well because you got unqualified on this. However, there are matters of emphasis that we are concerned about. We want to see them happening, and it's for us to push you and push you until we get them done. The Alexco, you were reporting on the issue of the office. That Pretoria office that you reported on, you have it on your slide 49, where you speak about that office process being wound down. That's what you put it. Even last time when we were with you on the matter, you said the same thing. It says it again. It says the SOC does not have an approved corporate plan. So the question will be, when will we have the approved corporate plan on this annex code? So that we just don't use it as a problem from where I'm sitting. But other than that, I'm really happy at this point, Professor, and thank you so much for giving us the other opportunity. And I want to say to Honorable Mountain, you are out of order by saying the department is insisting those comments that you made when you started are unwarranted. It's really unfair when public servants come before us, devour their time and energy, and then it seems almost as if we're insulting them as members of parliament. For me, it's unwarranted. I saw them as pretty true. Thanks, Chair. Can I be unmuted?
You can call order, but I can say.
Thank you, Honorable Shawalala. Can we put that with the questions don't flow? We don't speak like that in a portfolio committee session. Honorable members, we have to end the debate on the report just there, and then the issue now is the consideration of submission from the employees of the South African Express Airways, Mr. Chanyil Gyapesar. I don't know whether I'm pronouncing the surname correctly. If I'm wrong, my apology to the person. That is the is part of the issue that we have received in the portfolio committee complaint by the employees from SA Express, and would like just to hear the department responding. But if the person is here, because I was informed by the secretary that they are experiencing problems to connect. But I don't know who are experiencing that problem. But I think if they are in now, can we just get just 5 minutes for our presentation from your side? What does mean this report? Secretary?
I do see the two of the participants present. I see Mr. Wonderboy Pampa, and then I've also got he's from Transnet, and then I've also got the gentleman from SA Express, Mr. Giyakasad. The employees from SA Express, according to the program, are meant to go next. So if Mr. Giyakasad is ready to present, then we can proceed.
Okay, let's proceed. Let's go straight to him. Welcome to your facade. This is a portfolio committee meeting. As a response to your complaint, we will ask you to just take us for 3 to 5 minutes quickly so that we can hear from the department side.
Good morning to the Honorable Chairperson and to the Honorable members. First and foremost, I'd like to thank you for inviting you to the meeting. Just to highlight a few matters that have transpired over the last few months, I'm sure it has been well documented on the media, etc. South African Express employees, and the reason for my submission was that the employees have found themselves in a very unpleasant predicament where the salaries have been outstanding from February and March. The department has responded. They've made numerous agreements to liaise with the other departments in the public enterprises, being the public enterprises minister as well as the director general. However, up until this present moment, very little has been done to address the matter. The enterprise has been in business rescue from February, where numerous attempts were made by the department to engage with the business rescue practitioners. However, nothing has come to fruition. The airline is said to be having its final liquidation hearing on the 28th of October. So as employees, we very agree with the situation where 691 of us have been destitute in the interim with very little support. And we're saying from our point of view that we've not received the shareholder support that our sister airline, South African Airways, has received. And it's basically unacceptable to the employees that have been loyal to the airline. It's a state-owned entity, just like a PSA. It's been in operation for 26 years, well-defined by the Act, the SA Express Act of Parliament, which wasn't always supported, we feel, in comparison to other entities. The department has assisted us with the UIF TERS funding that is made available by government. However, the funding is not sufficient to cover the expenses of the employees at large. It arrives months later, and when it does arrive, it has to be paid back to banks with regards to the debt we've acquired over the months when we've had zero support. So we feel that we haven't been adequately supported by the department. And we also feel that Parliament hasn't exercised its right in presiding over the matter with regards to the liquidation of the entity. For that, we feel that we should have more representation, more support with the matter. However, the crux of the matter is that the airline is going to be liquidated should Parliament not intervene in the matter. There was money that was available. The allegations by the department is that they did provide us with a 1.2 billion rand bailout for the financial year 2019-2020. The money, however, was ring-fenced to be paid for government-guaranteed debt and very little, if nothing, entered into the company's account for capitalization of the enterprise. So we've not been capitalized, and this is the reason why we find ourselves in this position. There's been various cases at the Zondo Commission, which the Director General himself is aware of. The matters have been well documented, but up until this day, we've seen very little prosecution. We, as employees, have very little faith in the matter that prosecutions have not been done. Previous boards, under the control of the department, have not been held to account, and the poor employees have been discarded. That combined with the departure of the CEO end of March, in February, where the business was under business rescue, where very little support was provided. The departure of the CEO into Transnet Freight and Rail left the company with very little leadership, no support. That combined with a national disaster, namely the COVID, where employees had to enter the national lockdown with no salaries. It came to us at the last minute from the day before payday that we weren't going to be paid. And we had no support throughout the lockdown up until the date, other than the UIF TERS, which has its fierce amount of problems, which is documented for employees. Our careers, our families, our medical aid haven't been paid. Employees have passed away with little support. Their families have not gotten any of the benefits that we've paid to over the years regarding funeral cover, loss of life cover, etc. All of that has been taken away. And we feel that the department should provide us with a little bit more support as the shareholder. And we didn't always get that. The entity at the moment was afforded an amount of 164 million in the budget. We understand that amount has been used to pay for lessors for the aeroplanes to be returned. So that process of liquidating the company and disposing of the assets, we understand, has already been done. We also sit with a problem where the employment contracts have been temporarily suspended as of the end of April, and the UIF department is now holding employees responsible for the UIF TERS amounts that we have to pay back before we are able to qualify for UIF. So there's a major holdup with that. And that as well is a factor where employees are now being asked by the UIF department to pay back money that they don't even have, which is already being used up. At the moment, it's very difficult to secure employment in the present economy. Aviation globally has been affected with the national lockdown. We have very little job opportunities. Not only has our careers been badly affected, but we are unable to secure employment. We sit in limbo where we are uncertain as to the future. The department has made numerous media statements regarding the future of the employees and that they will chart a way forward for us so that we can at least have some closure as to whether we have careers, whether the company is rescuable. But up until this stage, nothing has come to fruition. South African Airways, on the other hand, has been supported. We have a number of employees at SA Express that have benefited and have come from previously disadvantaged backgrounds. I mean, as pilots, we refer to them. There's no opportunity for us for the next 2 to 3 years at least before the industry turns. We also feel that we've been neglected when it comes to that, just being discarded. So already in a difficult economy where unemployment is rife and we're not able to secure jobs. All we're asking is for some kind of leadership, some kind of way forward so that as employees we know which way to turn. And at the moment we've got zero feedback. There's been little feedback from the department as well as the company at large.
Okay, Mr. Kia Assad. We will just go straight to the response of the department. DG or the Deputy Minister first?
Chair, can I ask the DG to talk to, I think the exchanges with Ed on the matter of SA Express. I know of the recent, we also have almost a similar engagement from the South African Human Rights Commission. They can talk to that just to feel the response on our part. Safe to say that we truly sympathize with the situation that the workers, particularly at SA Express and all across our entities, that they are going through at the moment. The department will then provide the information. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. But
DG? Thank you, Chair. I just want to echo the last part of the DM's statement that the situation of the employees at SA Express is we sympathize very much with it. We understand you know what they are going through. It's we have a similar situation unfolding at SAA despite what has been said, because the employees there have been have not been getting their full salaries as well. Actually, we've just been maintaining through the entity pensions and medical aid. We have had though it has not received much publicity. There's also LMT at Denial that has gone through similar challenges. Denial itself, employees have not been receiving salaries for quite a while. And Chair, this is, and each one of these entities, Chair, has experienced different levels of damage for the mismanagement and corruption that had went on at these businesses. And that's why the work that we are doing to bring people to account for the damage they've caused to these public entities is so important, so that people do not walk away with ill-gotten gains, basically, from these entities. Coming back to to SA Express. There has been an employees representative group that we have been engaged in directly with as to how communication is then disseminated to the rest of the employees, and it's an area that we look closely at. I'm aware that the liquidator as well has been having similar engagements with that particular company. And there is employees, of course, those EDM is indicated that are also we're engaging with in relation to similar matters that Mr. Diabasad has raised here at the Human Rights Commission. We've had two sittings of that commission up to now, where they are seeking to mediate some kind of a solution for the plight of the employees. Now, the biggest hurdle, Chair, that has to be overcome is the fact that these are, imagine that the shareholder is they are owned by the state, or they have a shareholder in the form of us. They're also independent businesses. They're limited liability businesses, and they're set up that way in order to ensure their independence, ensure that you have boards that can make decisions as to how the business are run, where they invest, and how the operations are conducted. And in doing so, if there are liabilities that they attract, that those are dealt with, they are for the business to deal with, so that the state, like any other shareholder, is protected in that respect. Now, this mainly refers to now to the challenge of now when these businesses get into trouble, as what has happened with SA Express, which is now in liquidation. There is a legal hurdle that must be overcome if the state were to seek to provide assistance to the entity. And we have a major hurdle there, which we hope in some way through the engagement with the Human Rights Commission that can be overcome. We have a legal opinion that basically says that we cannot step in without attracting liabilities from the other creditors in SA Express. And that's in managing state resources, it's incumbent upon us to ensure that the state is, we do so with due care, and that's that unfortunately what has impeded us to assisting where we could, because we should not also forget that we have a state whose resources are quite stretched, and as we have seen with SAA, where I would say there is in terms of the economic case for sustaining the business, it's a lot stronger than SAA Express, and it's not a nice thing to hear from those that are linked to SAA Express, but just the reality of it, because there have been some corruption in this money, but the level of damage that have been done has not been to the extent that we've seen at the SAA Express. The role of Express Chair in transforming the industry cannot be denied. There's a lot of pilots that were produced, black pilots that were produced by that airline. We found ourselves in SAA and went to other airlines. And it was Mr. Diabasad is one of those pilots. I'm trying to make, I believe I have had a direct discussion with Mr. Diabasad at some point. And he's one of those pilots that we'd like to be able to retain and give an opportunity to going forward. But for us to be able to do so, we have to overcome this big challenge of COVID-19, which Mr. Diabasad has indicated. This is not the issue of the state of the airlines, not just a South African problem, it's a worldwide problem. If you are lucky, by the end of this year, we may see 40% of the market we had in 2019. So that means that you have 60% over capacity. And as we have seen, when the first when air travel was opened up, we're sitting with about 10% of the air traffic volumes that we've seen prior to COVID-19. So the situation is quite dire. Now, this is a challenge, I would say, in terms that obviously is bigger than just the Department of DPE. It requires the whole of government, requires the private sector as well to find a solution that can ensure these kind of skills that have been imparted, the likes of Mr. Gepasad, are reabsorbed again into the economy. So that's, Chair, what I will say is we should allow the process that the Human Rights Commission has going to aid us in terms of arriving at the solution and seeing how in that process we can address it. And like I said, hopefully through that we can overcome the big legal challenges that we have come across as a government. Thank you so much.
Thank you, DG. Honourable members, that is the information. Can we quickly engage this report? If I'm hearing you properly, DG, you're saying there has been an interaction with organized labor in the South African Express, state-owned entity that has been liquidated, and there is also a process of mediation that is currently taking place. Is the process that you think that we need to observe to its logical conclusion? Did you?
Yeah, not correct on the second point, Chair. On the first one, the employee is not organized labor. Though I must say, some of the unions have also been making queries and as to the progress, but you have employees, because now they are unemployed, they are not linked to the unions, but they have organized themselves. So I'll say it's an unionized formation that we've been dealing with. So it's, yeah.
Okay. Honourable members? I don't see any hand here.
Chair,
I thought you were going like we normally do, where you go.
No, it's because I don't want us to spend a very long time on this matter, because we just get this quick report and the response quickly. Therefore, any person who wants to, if you want to come in, come in. Honorable Mawadu.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. And once again, Chair, this is just one of the things that are blatant out there to say that the department is not really helpful. I mean, the issue of the Human Rights Commission, the matter was not taken there by the department. It's through the fight of the employees themselves. After they fought, they went to march, to protest at the offices. They were not receiving any joy from the department. So it's one of the things that really shows you that the department does not take the employees very serious, because the matter should not have been sitting with a Human Rights Commission. Right? The department has failed to resolve the matter of the employees, and hence the matter is now sitting with Human Rights Commission. So there's really nothing to engage except to say that the department must take the employees serious. You can't have people working and you don't pay for their salary. And the executives, they are fine. They even get promotions from SA Express to senior executive positions in other state-owned entities like Transnet, for example. When the workers are at home, their medical aids are not paid, their funeral covers are not paid, people die, they can't even be covered. This is really painful. This is crime against humanity. Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
Chair, can I come in here?
Who's that? Kachalia?
Yes.
Okay. Come on, remember.
Chair, the comments from the DG and the Deputy Minister, frankly, are cold comfort to the employees. The DPE, as the representative of the shareholder, is responsible for the state of these bankrupt enterprises. Corruption and mismanagement grew and festered under the government's aegis. The buck cannot be passed. The state must actually hold its head in shame, regardless of the protection provided by limited liability. The DG says resources are stressed, but billions are sought to plow now into vanity projects that are destined, frankly, on past performance to fail again. If we are lucky, we'll have 40% of the market of last year. And still we proceed with these vanity projects. We will be doing the same disservice and revisiting the same woes on a successive bunch of workers again. This is untenable. We have to be very circumspect about what we're doing here and acknowledge and try and remedy the ill service we've done to ordinary people while cadres who've been deployed have lived off the fat of the land. It's unacceptable.
Okay. Honorable Chavala?
Thank you, Chairperson. For me, really, it's to say that firstly, just to acknowledge the member who just came now and gave us the state of affairs, and of course, coming to members of parliament to say this is the situation that we're facing. It's empathized with the situation and what we're going through. Obviously, as a committee, we are not happy with the state of quo, with the state of affairs, and how things have embroiled, especially as they spread. And we're really hoping that the issue of the liquidation and the proceedings thereof of the sale itself, including employees, that should be addressed through the mediation process that is still continuing, that we were told. Now is facilitated by the Human Rights Commission, that we can really note that and ensure that we do our own oversight moving forward. Like you said, Chairperson, we are not, it's a human resource matter at this point. So for us to empathize, but to also bring the point that says this shows how much corruption is not good for the state. It shows that the type of public servants that we ought to have, that they need to be dedicated, committed, uncorruptible public servants to our own SOCs and SOEs. It is very crucial, and this is the time that as much as we are dealing with competition, Chairperson, we are, employment and all of that, we're seeing the vacancies. But let us make sure matters of the lifestyle only are at the order of the day moving forward in this SOC, so that things are not business as usual. We really, really are emphasizing at the ANC, as the ruling party government, that we don't take this lightly. As members of this public enterprise, we're really feeling for the employees, and whatever that we do, every time we do this oversight, we're always seeking and keeping on pressing on to say, can we make sure in everything else that we're doing, we take care of the needs of the working and communicate better with these old employees, especially in the aviation industry. We don't want some political parties being your DAs running amok, trying to be the spokesperson of the aviation, the East government. They are employed within these enterprises. They should find expression there. There should be a situation where they are able to find an ear to be listened to at this point. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chamara. Kumede, do you want to have a pipe?
Chair, it's a very difficult one to tackle because the reading the document is quite clear. It says that they requested that they be sorted out before the liquidation, and the representative here talks about the 28th of this month, and what the DG is saying, it looks as if processes are too long to have been completed before the 28th, right? So it's a difficult one, and it looks highly unlikely that they may even be absorbed into SAA if SAA then survives. So those are the things that in fact makes it difficult for us to participate meaningfully. Apart from what the WIP is saying, that we are to empathize perhaps and see if, I don't know, how are we going to talk about this. But we need to talk aside and see. Because I don't think the Human Rights Commission, yes, in fact, I don't think they will have anything to do, but it's good that anything is tried to make sure that the employers, the employees, have in fact been supported in their quest. So it's a difficult situation, Chair. I think I don't have any appropriate response to this matter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Is there any other person who wants to say something, members? Okay.
Yes. Members, there is another one who's trying to come.
Honorable Fury.
Am I audible?
No, yes, but you have got a very bad question, but you can quickly.
Chair, if I'm audible, then if I heard the presenter very well, he raised an issue that is a concern to me to say, they are now told or they are owing, whether be it you, if I heard him correctly, then if in that case, while they are still having many challenges with financial issues as individuals or employees of SA Express, can't the DM and the DG engage on that matter, because it's for their interest, in the interest of the employees, based on the fact that it's not from their own doings, but with the unforeseen or the shameful part that happened in the organization. Can they be assisted in making sure that that debt becomes a burden of somebody else, not for them? I'm not sure whether I'm audible enough or I'm making sense here, but the presenter raised a serious issue that was so emotional to say they are even told to that they are owing and they must pay back the money, where else currently they have nothing. Can't we deal with it in a separate manner and be given a priority, in the sense that all of us, we were not intending to let them or not to give them a support, but even us as members of parliament, we thought we were doing our best to assist the airline. But in the midst of everything, Chair, let us all, we are agreeing and will also engage further with the executives and the of the department, so that we need to iron out some issues, as much as the issue is still sub judice pending the commission. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Perry. Honourable members, I think what we need to appreciate here is that challenges that we have in our state-owned entities are not a creation of the current administration. All of us here in the sixth parliament, we seek to rescue the situation that we found extremely and we all committed to deal with this situation. We have, of course, a Zondo Commission, we've got Hawks, we've got NPA, they are trying to also play their part in taking into task those individuals that have been affected or playing a particular destructive role in destroying these entities. And if we have that in our mind, it will be, of course, easier to understand the state of the situation and the way how to handle it. For us as members of parliament, when we bring these complaints to this platform, we are not here to be some fashion show, to demonstrate to these members or to these particular individuals how we as political parties could better handle this matter. We instead have to understand these issues in their real situation and try to provide a solution and the way out, so that at the end of the day, the people who actually become victims of maladministration and corruption, such as your express workers and everywhere, we can be in a position to assist them. Not just to show, raise unreasonable kind of allegations here. The reality of the situation is that corruption, I think Honorable Shabala raised that sharply, corruption and maladministration destroy the country, destroy the administration capacity of the state. Therefore, if you have taken all the money, for example, in VBS, where are you going to get the money to pay the people who are victims of that looting? If the money in SAA has been looted, the bag is empty, where are you going to get that money to pay the people who are the victims? There's no way. Therefore, we have to be very careful when we interact in these issues, so that people can understand the real damage created by corruption and maladministration. In this instance, therefore, the DG is saying there is a process of trying to engage and find a solution to this matter. For us, as people who are playing an oversight role and having listened to the workers and the department itself, I think ours is to put pressure, not an unreasonable pressure on the department and the ministry as a shareholder there. We need to put pressure to them so that they can resolve this matter as early as humanly possible. We are not saying they must create another damage somewhere in order to resolve that, but they must find a way of resolving this quagmire we find ourselves in. I think the issue here is that the department is appreciating this problem. Therefore, they are in a way trying to resolve it. Let's put another stamp by saying, in the next session we have here, we must be told how this matter has been resolved. Because there's no way that these people can continue having contributed their own labor in the SAA Express and then maladministration and corruption had to negatively affect them. And I don't think it's true to say the executive is not really affected by this. They are affected. I saw another letter which was written by the CEO to the minister, calling for him to resolve the issue because he has not been paid for a couple of months, just like everybody there. Therefore, let's try to put pressure to the department and the ministry to find a way, even if it means that they push the treasury to do something as a matter of agency. I think let's leave it there with the hope that the minister is going to approach the treasury, which is the Minister of Finance, so that this issue of the salary of the workers, Pierre is correct. If somebody who was supposed to pay the pension or the UIF of the workers has not done that, this must not affect the innocent people. That person must be brought to book so that he can account why those monies were not paid, so that we can resolve the matter of the agenda. Thank you.
Chair, can I beg for your indulgence, Chair?
Thank you.
Can I beg your indulgence, Chair?
Yes, I'm giving you, Deputy Minister.
I respect your summary, Chair, and your guidance on the matter. I thought, though, there are some remarks that have been made here for which I felt compelled we need to point out correctly what the true position is. I just want to say, as I said in the beginning, we were completely, and we still are, completely sympathetic to the plight of the SAX employees. To that effect, we are the ones, when everything else really hit rock bottom, who tried opening another avenue just to help sustain the employees, even though it was insufficient. The avenue of talking into UIF, etc., we literally handheld them to actually get that access. And where there are problems in this respect, we are happy and they would be happy to look at that and see how can that be resolved to make this lighter on the employees, if at all there should be anything going in their direction. Where I think we should, honorable members, all of us, look at inconsistency at times where it affects ourselves. Just recently, we were talking to the issue of SAA where we were talking about an amount of 10.5 billion. In that amount of money, there is a request which is part of that 10.5 billion aimed at addressing the plight of employees at SAA. But Honorable Katalia refers to that as some vanity project, etc. On the one hand, he doesn't see the need for it, but on this side, because they are employees in front of him, he finds reason to lambast us for not doing much to deal with the plight of the employees. That double standard must always be exposed for what it is, opportunism. We are dealing with that. In fact, we've even explored other avenues to try and equate the employees at SAA with those at SAA Express. But that, of course, has got to go through the legal provisions that are there. We can't just do anything willy-nilly. So I think than just getting on the bandwagon of criticism, I think let's appreciate the gravity of the matters that are being dealt with. As of opportunism, it is really totally uncalled for. What we're dealing with here is serious, is the plight of the lives of those employees, not some.
Thank you so much, Deputy Minister. Thank you for that important emphasis. Because I think here, that's why I made a point that we bring these people here for us to assist them, not for us to demonstrate how beautiful we are in front of them. But let's try to seek mechanism to resolve the matter, you know, because these are the issues that are affecting people. They are not about votes. They are not about asking. They are about us resolving problems that we are getting because of corruption and maladministration, which is not a creation of this current administration. I think we must appreciate that. Let us leave it, Deputy Minister and members.
Chair, I feel that I need to come in because there was a particular reference made to me and I need to put the statement.
It cannot be like that. It will be...
As a point of information, Chair.
What information?
From what source of information?
The information I wish to provide as a point is very clearly that there is no grandstanding. There needs to be a separation in the monies that are being...
Who has the
last say here? The deputy minister, the DG, or the members of this particular committee?
Honourable members, listen to me very carefully.
There
is no board we have the last word here. We all have, everybody that is participating in this platform has a right to say whatever. That's why I give the department with the minister to present their case and then members respond. Then after they have responded, I conclude the debate. And I concluded the debate in this instance. And it doesn't mean that when somebody's name is mentioned, one has to act on that. I will never allow that kind of a situation. That won't be a meeting if we do allow those things to take place. And the honorable members must just try to have a thick skin. What you raise, you must expect that people might respond to. And the way they will respond, they are not going to make it comfortable for you because you didn't even yourself make it comfortable for them. Therefore, I think that's the nature of meetings and politics. Let us leave this matter now. Going to the next point. The next point is on Transnet. I will allow the workers that I hear from Transnet to present their case. I understand that the secretary, we've got Arthur Mendy from Transnet. Who else? Secretary?
Hi, Chair. Mr. Wonderboy Santra is also present on behalf of Transnet.
Okay. Can they quickly come because we are already now have the time pressing. Yeah. Any of the Transnet workers that are represented here?
Yes, Honorable Chair.
Yes.
My name is Arthur Tolemende. Unfortunately, I'm using two surnames. I was working for Transnet Port of Richards Bay as an operator there since 2014. Unfortunately, what happened there was some of the issues I was raising. It happened that I was time to time questioning some of the activities which are corrupt related. And then it ended up allowing those who were dealing, especially the managers who were dealing with that, who were involved in those corrupt activities, getting offended. Until then, they make a plan of making sure that they must get me something, they must suspend me for not attending training while I was at work. So as an operator, I report to a supervisor. And then the manager suspend me while I report to a supervisor. Then I lodged the case and I was dismissed. And I lodged the case to bargaining counsel. Unfortunately, bargaining counsel, lot of things happened without following the proper procedure. Then I realized that this was something that a system was created, that anyone who's an employee within the SOEs, if he reported some or questioned some of the corrupt activities, that one is surely they get rid of him. Until then, that is when that we take the matter to the acting group, I mean the group C, or by then it was Mr. Tao Marais. Then Tao Marais reflected the matter to the then chief executive officer, Ms. Nelson Kotola, who she investigated using the forensic investigators within Transnet in 2019. Unfortunately, the forensic did finish up, did conclude in 2019, but the unfortunate part is that Transnet executives and the management were not at liberty to share the information on the forensic outcome, just to prove our case, to prove that I did not do any misconduct. But the fact that I was raising some corrupt activity, then they had to eliminate and do everything as they were saying. So this is the reason why I came to the committee to request the committee if they could assist, because in port terminals you don't talk about corruption. That's an actual fact. You talk about anything that is a corrupt activity, they eliminate you or either you're dead. So now my appeal to the committee is, can they try to communicate with Transnet to implement or to issue the forensic report if it's found we were guilty by raising those questions? Because I don't know if maybe to all members of the parliament, how on earth will there someone who can be dismissed for not attending training while he was at work operating, doing the job that he has been employed to, and then is it the most conduct? Where after he has raised some corrupt activities, which I've already raised to all the executives, and by the time I come to the committee, I just want to submit to the committee that I did not just jump to them straight. I've already spoke to the chairperson of the board, Mr. Tabor Pomlis. I've already spoke to the group CEO, Ms. Kosha Devi. I've already spoke to the legal department, which is the police of Poland chair. I've already spoke to the then acting CEO, Mr. Benita Dube, and I have already even get a call from someone who called himself as Dave, who was trying to intimidate me to say, I mustn't just carry on with this matter and I mustn't talk to anybody. I only had to talk to only him. So my appeal was then, that is when I realized that this is the system which has been created within the SOEs, where corruption, especially in port terminals, you don't have to talk about anything which is corrupt related. You have to just get to admit whatever and keep quiet about anything. Since then, that I realized that by being quiet, I would be not helping. Because the bottom line, who assist this situation immediately, those who are involved, they will get away with this matter. And then the only people who will be fighting one another, it will be Transnet and employees, because it will look like me as an employee, I'm up against Transnet. Whereas it's not the case. It's me, we are being used. Transnet for terminals and me are being used by those who are corrupt, as it will look like I'm up against my employer, whereas we are just playing to their ground where they are the beneficiary of this matter by hiding this forensic report.
Okay. Yeah, I'm 5 minutes is almost gone. Can you summarize or conclude?
Okay, my conclusion, Honorable Chair, would be my request, because the only situation has already taken the damage. I don't know where can I come. I shall request the board and I shall request the committee to just only try to assist us with Transnet to try to make this forensic report being implemented, and those who are found doing or wrongdoing, if it's me personally, then I must be told I was wrong, and if it's based on the forensic report, the only thing that will assist is that the forensic report being implemented.
Okay. Are you... You are saying something... I think I cut you while you're...
Yes, I was just having a hope that when I hear in the past few days one of the situations which happened during one of the portfolio committee of sport, I hear because they will have some of the CSA, they want the issue of forensic report. I was having that other thing to, it might happen that something they might also, the committee might also force the organization to also implement, like they have been forced to put other portfolios.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you also part of the 12 from Gqura, or that's different?
No, I'm in Richards Bay Port Terminal.
Okay.
The other one is separate. I'm in Richards Bay Port Terminal.
Okay. Can you get the Gqura port? One the boy come and the other?
Yes. Yes, there is, Chef.
Yeah, you are audible. That's where to speak. I can see.
Yes, there is, Chef.
Yeah. Continue.
Yes. Sir, my name is Bigelelo Wonderboy Kamna. I am one of the black employees that were unfairly and brutally dismissed in 2015 Transnet Port of Gqura. Without a fair trial and no previous misconduct or any form of warning whatsoever. Among these 12 guys, we have 4 electricians, we have 3 millwrights, and 5 process workers. They are very, very well experienced. I would like to take the opportunity to thank God that he has made this day a come true. We would also like to thank God that today the Parliament has gathered to listen to our grievances. This matter has brought suffering and pain in our lives. However, sir, I am not alone. I am with my colleague Paul Gauta Sekobo. I've invited him to come with me so that he can also revive his hope and also express what transpired in Port of Gqura. Over to you, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You disappeared, you are not audible, just press you unmute yourself. Okay, this guy disappeared, we can see their face. I think they've got a problem there of network. Is there anyone else here from them? Mpo, are you with them?
No, I'm with the SA Express guys, Chair.
Oh, okay. I think
Chile got disconnected. I just gave my name to the meeting.
You readmitted them.
Yes, Chair. I just say they got disconnected.
Are they back now?
Yes. Yes, Chair, they are back.
Okay, let's give them again an opportunity. Yes.
I just got some connections.
Yeah, you back now. Just continue speaking.
Yes, sir. The reason why we were unfairly dismissed, our thing was to raise issues that were happening. Issues that led us to invite the top management to report all these things. The first issue was the state of machines. It was favoritism, it was racism, it was nepotism within the department. So after we have reported all these issues, we then told the then CM called Mr. Siam Chaluba that we are scared to talk because are going to be victimized, and we are going to be getting warnings. And he promised us that such thing is not going to happen. Such thing is not going to take place. So 3 months down the line, 2 months down the line, the same supervisor that ended up reporting, he was victimizing us in the form of complaints. He didn't want to listen to us because of the skin of our color. After we have been victimized by the supervisor, we decided to go to report him to the management, technical management, and also ER department. After we have reported him, we have promised that the matter is going to be resolved by the following day. Same supervisor arrived in the meeting, very angry. After that, to avoid confrontation, then we walked out, went to the machine to carry on our diligence because we were scared of the supervisor. While we were working on the machine, the same supervisor called us and issued an immediate suspension letter. And the following week, we were then dismissed. After we were dismissed, we went to the union that was representing us called NUMSA. With us, we had of which were during the hearing, one asked to go out and focus if we're gonna conduct the hearing as individuals or as the group of 12. Left our phone on record. The phone recorded the three officials that were strategizing on how to get rid of us. It was a ER officer, it was a presenting officer, and also the technical manager, the same technical manager whom we reported our matter to. After the matter has been on the hands of the union, the union ended up not referring the case within the bargaining council. It was done deliberately after the union had met with our ER, which is called Mr. Graham Munma. After that, we kept on writing to Transnet management. We tried by all means from Mr. Kama, wrote to the then the CEO, Mr. Kama, wrote to Mr. Mohammed. After that, we were invited by the Forensic Department from Transnet. We believe that that happened because of the pressure that we also put in, requesting them to investigate the matter. We were then invited by the Forensic Department from Transnet. We submitted all the documents and evidence that we did not do anything wrong. After that, the forensic was out, and we heard through the grapevine that the forensic failed, which we, after that, we heard that Chair?
Yes. You are cutting now.
Okay, after the forensic investigation was completed last year, it was then submitted to the office of Mr. Benedict to implement the forensic report. Up to this date, we are still writing left and right to every department to ask the to implement the forensic report. There is also another report which is finding, we believe it's not far from the forensic report. It's called ICAP report. It was conducted in 2018, taking in the technical department. So the same report, we would like to ask the members of parliament, to accept those reports and to force transplant and to ask the current management to implement those reports, because we did not do anything wrong to point out the wrongdoings that were taking place during that time. I thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Wonderboy Kung. Can we give the department a chance? DG?
Yeah. Sure, thank you. Chair, can I make a request? We're given maybe the next week, to come back next week on this matter. I just want to collect the facts from the employees that have come on here, so that we can be able to liaise with Transnet and see where the cases within their system are, and also be able to get an appreciation from the employees as to the as to where, because they are now outside the Transnet system, so that we can just check which other kinds of state they are engaging with, so that we can provide a more comprehensive report to the committee within a week on these matters. And the issues of victimization that have been raised, we want to test those, but I just want to say that it was a feature of the past leadership teams and our SOEs, that people who either refused to cooperate in wrongdoing, who brought the statutory wrongdoing to light, were victimized. I think some of these cases have been covered quite extensively and there's under commission. So that would be the request that I will make, Chair, so that we don't just respond without having all the information at our disposal. Thank you.
Okay, that's fair enough. Let us provide that opportunity to you as a department to come with all those issues back to us. And also, I want to take this opportunity to thank the members, the workers that came to this portfolio committee. I understand that they have escalated these issues not only to us. I know that they also returned to the Speaker of Parliament and also to the Minister. Some returned to the Minister, and we would like to be seen these issues dealt with. The worst part of the matter is that, if I read it correctly, which also they raise here, is that there were, after they have appealed, they were found not guilty, and they were supposed to have been brought back to work, but that kind of ruling has not been executed to this point. That's why I think we need to follow it as soon as possible. Members? Honourable members? Can I leave it there?
Sure.
We hope that when we reconvene, the department will have to provide us with all those details. And put the matter. Yes, Honorable Kumari?
Sorry, because I don't find the mechanism to raise my hand here. We seem to be having three cases here.
Yes.
Two cases have been dealt with. The third case is the one that relates to a kind of a contractor. That's the one that you are referring to. That is the contractor or a rep that was representing a particular contractor had a discussion with the minister, which decision was taken that the compensation be something like 20 million. and that 20 million was not effected or paid because a legal person in Transnet did not sign. However, the matter went to court, and the court simply said there's nothing that they can do if the legal person in the company has not signed. So all what I'm trying to raise is there is this third story, which in fact has not been reported here, but which is part of the report or reports that we are having.
No, that's another matter. It's not with the matter at the table now.
Okay.
The issue
okay.
that we are busy with now is for the three or the two workers, the group of workers. One is from Richards Bay, the other 12 that are represented by the two gentlemen here are from Mucha in PE. Those are the cases that we have been bombarded since last year, I think. They have been writing to us and trying to make their complaint. Now, that's the issue that we are trying to resolve here. Now, the department is asking us to provide them with the opportunity to go and get the specs from Transnet so that they can be in a position to deal with these both issues from Richards Bay and BE Mucha. When we meet, when we reconvene, they will be ready by next week according to them. But when we reconvene, we'll have to get that report as one of the first priority issues. Are we in unison with that?
But the meeting is fine.
Chair, I accept that my apologies were it's only that it was part of the report that came through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Honorable members, can we leave this on that note?
Can we? No, not everybody agrees.
What was that now?
Yes, I've been trying in, but I've been in while the report has been given. Now, okay. May I request that also the issue that is being raised by Honorable Mayor be added on these two, so that when the department comes, it gives a more comprehensive report on the third point as well.
Okay, on that one, I will come to it later because there is a written response from the minister that perhaps because the minister is not here, we can add it to that matter anyway. Because the minister was still responding to us saying he is busy with Transnet. To our executive in order to get a full story behind that one. Therefore,
thank you very much.
I agree when you are saying let's have three of those issues next week when we meet.
Thank you.
Okay. Honourable members, thank you very much. We are done with the issues of these workers that make that complain to the portfolio committee seeking for our intervention. Now we will have to release them and look at the last point, which is the consideration and the adoption of the fourth tender. Mr. Mendy? Oh, for me. Okay. Let us release them. And then we are left with number 9 in our agenda, which is consideration adoption of the court term program.
I think all members have that access. If Secretary can put it on the screen so that everybody sees. Are you, do we have that facility?
Yes, Chair, I'm just, for some reason, I'm just struggling a bit. Can you just see if I can locate that document, because I am struggling a bit. Here we go.
You just sent to me again another version which was more informed.
Yeah, this is the latest version. She can make it
clear. Yes. Yes, we see it. I see it. We see it. We're supposed to see it, all of us. If I see it, everybody sees it. Yeah. It starts with Wednesday today with the meeting that we are having, and then the 21st will be the briefing by the Board of DNL on financial and governance challenges facing the company. On the 28th of October, it will be briefing by the Department of Public Enterprise on their annual report and financial statement 2019-2020 financial year. And then on the 4th of November, it will be the Department of Public Enterprises on the outcomes of forensic investigation at Alaska and progress made in implementing turnaround strategy. And then on the 11th of November, we'll be getting another briefing by the Department of Enterprises and Business Rescue Practitioners on the progress made in restructuring state-owned aviation assets, voluntary severance package for employees, funding, and so on, and then consideration and adoption of the budgetary review and recommendation. And then on the 18th, we get a briefing by ESCOM on the financial statement for the 2019-2020 financial year. We also get February 25, briefing by Transnet on the annual report and financial statement for the 2019-2020. The last one, the 5th of December, is oversight visit to Alaska that we have been postponing, and hope to, this time around, we'll be in a position to be allowed to take this trip. Yeah, that is it, honorable members. If there's anything that you think is left or you want to add something, yeah, you are at liberty to do that.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you so much, Kabanana here. Just to make additions, Chair, I feel that we need to add a presentation on the forensic investigation. Especially today we got on that slide before on Transnet and other ones. But as we know that the department, when we started, it does have a legal section where we need to get measures that have been done to combat corruption. So an update around that, I think it's important. I don't want to suggest a day, perhaps after the testing in principle and putting it on in your office, you can work out the day. So that you are able to squeeze it in. The second part is on the matter of, oh God, I just forgot now. The second part is on the matter of, I think Alaska is happy with the oversight that we're supposed to do. Okay, the second part here, can I propose that next week when we consider the matters of next week, can we then put the first agent report on PPE? On the corruption of PPE.
Okay.
Because we know the first AG report is out there for members of parliament, like any other such, portfolio committees have been overseeing. So we need to do so and understand what has been the status quo in terms of this department in so far as the issue of PPE, but what the AG report highlights for us in next week. So I'll just propose that if we can squeeze that in next week, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. So have you captured that now?
Yes, she is captured. Chair. Just in terms of the program, I don't know if I'm just jumping the gun here, but is the committee seeking to adopt the fourth-term program? Because if that's the case, then we will need a move and a second chair.
Yes, that's what we're trying to do. The mover is already Shabalala. I'm looking at the second now. Shabalala with amendments. Is there any mover? I mean, any supporter?
Yes, I do.
And
support, yes.
Okay. Honorable Advocate Mpumlwana?
Yes, I move to support.
Yes, you're captured. That's the end of the report, I mean the adoption of that program. Honorable members, thank you so much. I think now we just reached the end of our session. Thank you to the department, DG. Thank you to the Deputy Minister who have been very helpful, and including the visitors that we have been invited to come and present their case. Therefore, we will meet as per the program now. Thank you so much. The meeting is adjourned.
Long live the chair.